Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. In the book Unified Particle Theory, author Gordon W. Stull lays out in clear terms the unified particle theory, which posits that all of humanity, and indeed all of creation, is more interconnected than we may realize. Though it's a heady topic, his use of language and metaphor brings the abstract into the realm of the understandable, grounding these high-minded concepts in imagery that the layman can appreciate. He goes on to suggest that the great mysteries of what brought the universe into existence can be answered by the inclusion of God, and furthermore, that this vast interconnectedness is a result of Christ Jesus and the kingdom of God being present in every person. For the naturalist and the spiritualist alike, unified particle theory sheds light onto some of the great issues of our time and promotes thoughtful consideration. Born in Glendale, California, Gordon was actually raised in Missouri, where he still resides. He's been interested in the great mysteries of the universe since he was a child, having researched the concept of infinity at the age of five. This passion made its way into a profession as a small engine mechanic and pure motion researcher. Though the concept of infinity and the vastness of the universe has frightened him, he was always able to find solace in God, something which is clearly reflected in his work. Gordon Stull, author of Unified Particle Theory, The Concept, is our guest on This Week in America. Gordon, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Hi, it's a pleasure to be here.
Looking forward to this. Always like shows when I can learn something, and I'm going to during the portion of the program where Gordon is with us today. The book is Unified Particle Theory. Gordon, why is it necessary for humankind to be able to conceptualize the universe of everything via a unified particle theory when conventional wisdoms of both the naturalist and the spiritualist have different opposing views concerning infinity?
Humankind is bound to the machine more so than ever before. And the way human nature is, the naturalist physics of things are pretty much set in stone. There's not much room for change, most of which can only be after the fact, finite, and closed loop, due in part to the technological advances of present-day machinery. What becomes interesting is the spiritualist way of dealing with infinity versus a naturalist way of dealing with infinity. Infinity is always in the act of, it's likened to pure motion, per mass, except infinity moves in size and time coordinates, where time is nonlinear, being with respect to our size and time domain. Infinity is before the fact, but more importantly, infinity is an open loop function, having the force that pulls straight. Infinity is a boundary remover by the complex motion of density amplification by the organizing absorption of mass. Spiritualists believe in the afterlife, whereas a naturalist may not always believe in the afterlife, but yet they are connected to infinity through particle motion. Both a naturalist point of view and a spiritualist point of view of a unified particle theory of the universe of absolutely everything could be done through conceptualizing. An outcome, the problem is, the naturalist point of view versus the spiritualist point of view cannot be without the other. And yet, time and time again, there is a difference of opinion as to who is wrong and who is right. There is an ongoing differential that exists between these two. And the in-between factor pumps up the potential differences equally and withdraws equally from these potential differences and has a working mass output. How simple is that? And yet the complexities extend into infinity. If humankind reaches a point where that differential can no longer exist and that humankind can no longer be able to stay within the maxima and minima of survivability, then the end will come. The question remains, can our spacecraft we call planet Earth sustain another world war? Or will human life on Earth become so easy that the daily challenge to live is no more? Conceptualizing the universe of everything via a unified particle theory becomes extremely important for the naturalist as well as the spiritualist alike. Verily, we are, we the people of the machine, and that we are bound to the machine in one way or the other, must maintain what we need to survive and improve what we have worldwide.
You know, it's there is so much there, so much that that Gordon is talking about. You'll find it all laid out in the Unified Particle Theory, the concept by Gordon Stull, that's S-T-U-L-L, book available at Amazon, the usual places. Has anyone been able to conceptualize a size and time traveler moving into inner space? And if so, why is this important to new discoveries in inner space technological discoveries?
I don't know if anybody has, and if they did, they probably did it unknowingly. When traveling from outer space into inner space, that mass loss ratio becomes important as to the force that pulls straight. Just like the force that pushes a rocket from inner space into outer space, that force of which pushes and bends causes the release of mass and the rocket to move forward. As long as there is empty space for that rocket to move in, the rocket can then move straight forward. In order to travel from outer space to inner space, a mass loss ratio must also take place. Building a small enough rocket becomes a problem when it comes to orbiting or landing on an electron. To be honest, I do not know of anyone who has been able to conceptualize a size and time traveler in this way, as well as moving endlessly into inner space. Inner space research and technology seemingly started out with quantum mechanics, even the movie industry and their concepts. At this time, nanocarbon technologies is leading the way in inner space research, opening the door to a world that is so incredibly vast that it extends into infinity.
I said this was going to be something that was a topic that was going to get us thinking. That's exactly what Gordon is doing in the program. The book is Unified Particle Theory. I'm going to sort of break this down from an age standpoint. Why is it that our young seem to be more active in seeking out those answers to the universe of everything than, say, the older person? And I'll put myself in that older category, who has knowledge of only this universe that we live in at the present time. Why is that, do you think?
Our young will inherit the earth, plain, pure, and simple. If it were to be the single most important thing there is to our young, would certainly be the spirit of the God of love. As we grow old, we try to improve by giving sacrifice to others through conventional wisdoms of the past. But when we are young, the sky is the limit. Improving quantum technologies is the key thing right there, because our young have that creativity, that power to expand into infinity.
And they have that curiosity as well, that maybe we lose a little of that. We're accepting as we get older, and the young have that curiosity to look into things, don't they?
Yes, they do. You can learn a lot from the young.
You really can. If you're wise enough to listen to them, you can learn something. You know, just exactly what are the discrepancies that exist between space and time and size and time, being that most people will consider both of these two entities as pretty much being one and the same?
I'll start this one out as like a differential. Size and time, I would say it like this: cube or spherical, or nonlinear coordinates. Per space and time, spherical or cubed, linear coordinates. That's just something maybe for some people to think about. Size and time being in the act of angular acceleration and angular deacceleration, or angular deacceleration and angular acceleration, whichever one comes first, having no in-betweens, extending into infinity. Space and time being with respect to two points of reference, finite, being that nothing moves exactly straight. Size and time carries with it space and time, and is open loop, being with respect to infinity, for there is no limit as to how large or how small something or anything can be.
Gordon W. Stull, that's S-T-U-L-L, is our guest on the program, author of Unified Particle Theory, the concept. Information, of course, on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Book available at Amazon, the usual places. Gordon, why is it that conventional science believes that the atom is the smallest unit of ordinary matter that still maintains the properties of a chemical element?
It goes by that synthetic carbon fixation cycle versus the biocarbon fixation cycle. Becomes interesting when you consider a bulk flow chemical reaction that is in the act of being equal, of which gives us a mathematical outcome that satisfies the law of conservation of energy states. Conventional wisdom says nothing moves faster than the speed of light. How untrue is that? This is the law, and this is the main reason why the baryon asymmetry problem has not been solved. When you consider the standard model of particle physics, the standard model is about a particle, not about an orbiting particle system. And there's a big difference between those two. And logic would say that the atom is the smallest unit of ordinary matter that still maintains the property of a chemical element, or does it? The biocarbon fixation cycle says otherwise. Like, for example, a biocarbon molecule's holding force with other atoms can be shared with a large number of different complex chemical combinations like the RNA and DNA molecule. And if I remember right, no one has yet been able to mix up a bunch of chemicals and produce a DNA molecule. Life forms create chemical combinations that are self-building by using the orbiting particle systems that make up the electron, the proton, and the neutron, forming temporary intermediate molecules that are transported to another location, depositing the force that pulls straight, being caused by an open loop force driving a closed loop particle flow per location per time, like an under square vortex uncoiling by disorganizing part of its mass in one direction and reorganizing, coiling its mass flow in another direction, decrystallizing and recrystallizing mass in another location, being like a factory that goes through a process of 2- and 3-point systemizing, where the spin up, spin down of an under square vortex goes through Dirac's string trick, 180, 360, 720 degrees, 0 degrees, respectively. Tie a knot in the under square vortex string and you have a particle of a certain size and shape being held in place by the force that pulls straight, producing a boundary from the force that pushes and bends. Orbiting particle systems make up absolutely everything in the universe of absolutely everything, making that critical connection between finite space and infinite space, unifying all particles.
With us on This Week in America, Gordon Stull, S-T-U-L-L, author of Unified Particle Theory. Our information on Gordon, you can link directly to his Amazon page by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Why is it that there seems to be a differential for everything in the universe of everything that we could ever possibly imagine?
There's a difference between quantum wave mechanics and quantum particle flow mechanics. In the double slit experiment, coil and uncoil would be the working mass or quantum mechanics, except that in order to have working mass, you must also have an exchange of mass between 2 points, hence the term quantum particle flow mechanics. In much the same way that in a particle flow that pumps up a potential difference equally can also lower that potential difference equally and do work. Intermediate between 2 waves in the double slit experiment shows this duality of the universe of absolutely everything extending into infinity. This differential that exists in everything is motion per mass, like, for instance, the complex motion of the spirit of the God of love and the complex motion of the anti-spirit of the God of love. That differential is a duality that extends into infinity. For one cannot be without the other. It's their working mass that moves into the future versus the crystallinity of the past, where working mass is inversely proportional to the other, and yet the pure motion signature remains in infinity. being the unification of all particles through the spirit of the God of love. For the anti-spirit of the God of love is closed loop and limited to mostly finite boundaries, that differential of which is life-sustaining is also that keeps us between the maxima and minima, hence the term, the spirit of the God of love.
Gordon Stull with us on the program. Well, the time is going by so quickly. So much more we want to discuss, and you'll find all of it in Gordon's book, the highly acclaimed Unified Particle Theory, The Concept. Gordon, scientists know that time is a sequence of existence, or simply put, a measurement of linear space per time. Is it possible to have non-linear space per time?
Nonlinear space per time comes from the force that pushes and bends and is a boundary producer. In this way, nonlinear time creates our very existence, and linear space per time comes from the force that pulls straight. And this is the force that holds everything together. In a unified particle flow of particles that form an orbiting particle system, in that unique balance between what can be considered infinity or open loop particle flow driving what can be considered finite or closed loop particle flow.
That pretty well, but there's so much here, and you might want to play this back several times to fully grasp what Gordon is talking about and giving us answers to so many questions and getting our mind very active. And it's all of course in the book Unified Particle Theory. Being that the carbon atom has a very long life expectancy, seemingly forever, as compared to much heavier and larger sized elements, and that most life forms use the carbon molecule for existence, would the size of a carbon molecule have anything to do with accelerating or deaccelerating the aging process? And I'm very interested in the answer here, so I'll be taking notes.
The carbon atom can have one of the greatest pulling forces known to be in existence, especially when you consider the synthetic diamond. The holding force of the carbon atom is spread out in carbon-based biolife forms. This spreading out of particle flow says a lot about the discrepancies between what can be considered an undersquare, an oversquare, and square vortex, meaning that an oversquare vortex can produce more of the force that pushes and bends per location per time versus an undersquare vortex having more of the force that pulls straight per location per time. This spreading of the pulling force of the carbon atom becomes important to the size and time domain of an atom's working mass, offsetting the balancing act between two size and time domains within a molecule, like a small carbon life form being with respect to a larger carbon life form. A smaller life form doesn't necessarily age any faster. It's just that the size and time domain is moving at a faster rate as compared to a larger life form's size and time domain, being like sand through an hourglass, where the size of the grain of sand doesn't change, being like the orbiting particle system of the carbon atom. But yet, time it takes for the amount of sand or working mass to be displaced becomes a critical factor to the aging life form's finite closed loop after the fact particle flow grid. If it were to be that a life form was made up of carbon atoms only, life expectancy would be infinite unless an outside force changes that balancing act between finite and infinity.
Okay, that's good information to have there. I was curious about that, and thank you for doing that for me. Stereochemistry is a subdiscipline of chemistry and deals with spatial arrangement of atoms and 3D dimensionality. How would your unified particle theory be a part of this subdiscipline of chemistry?
Crystalline structures in 3D are like 3D roadmaps, except the structure in itself is also made up of particles that move in certain ways that hold their position in not only two dimensions, but also in three dimensions, thus unifying this particle flow in two dimensions as well as three dimensions, like in the case of osmosis, where two-point systemizing produces a third point, hence the term two- and three-point systemizing particle flow.
You know, I said in the beginning that Gordon would be tackling some of the great issues of our time and promoting thoughtful consideration of those. That's exactly what he's done on this program, does in great detail in his book, Unified Particle Theory, The Concept. A couple minutes left in the program, Gordon. What inspired you to write this book? I imagine just in collecting all of the information, getting it to the point that it's understandable for us who are not scientists or scientifically inclined. What was it that motivated you to write Unified Particle Theory?
My dad, he used to say, how can something so simple and yet be so complex that it extends into infinity? And it's like, yeah, you know, maybe I doing something or another. And that was back when we was getting a patent on a patented exhaust system. And yeah, we went through some lot of experimentation in there on particle flows and stuff. And I began to learn a lot, you know, with the help of my dad too, that he served in the military in the Navy, and he was on a two-cycle engine sub chaser. And man, you know, like diesel engine on a two-cycle, woo! Yeah, those things was crazy in itself. But yeah, we've worked out a lot of little problems along the way when it comes to that difference between infinity and then what is considered finite.
Well, and you're doing so much in bringing it to layman to understand. You have so much information there. Is there going to be a follow-up, a sequel to Unified Particle Theory?
Yes, and I'm still working on it. It may be a while, just depends on how things go. But it will be more of a breakdown of the spacecraft we call planet Earth. I've really got some stuff I could put into this one.
Ooh, good. I am looking forward to that. And so you're working on it. Any idea when that may be available that we can talk about it and people can buy a copy?
It's probably going to be at least probably 2 or 3, maybe 4 months from now. But yeah, I look forward to getting it put out. Either the spring or then about midsummer is what I'm thinking. Just depends on how it goes.
Well, it's another reason to look forward to spring and summer this year, because we'll have another book that we can talk about with Gordon. Our guest on the program, Gordon W. Stull. That's S-T-U-L-L. If you're Googling, the book is The Unified Particle Theory, The Concept. You'll find it at Amazon, all of the usual places. The Amazon page link for Gordon's on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Gordon, a pleasure having you on the program. Thank you for spending some time with us. Good luck with the follow-up book, and thank you for being with us.
Thanks.
You're welcome. The book, once again, Unified Particle Theory by Gordon W. Stull, S-T-U-L-L. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. We're back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.